cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, you waited all week to get to Friday, and here we are, we're live. It's Friday morning, cliffcentral.com.
Hello! Hello to you ladies, especially to the ladies who do ladies things, and to the men who don't do ladies things. You're not going to be dressing like ladies today.
Sorry, that's my tranny voice.
Do you have a pinched nerve in your back or your vagina?
Hey, you started a whole thing with vaginismus. It's now become...
We've been talking about it all week, thanks to you bringing it up last week.
Guys, we've got to talk about the hard things in life.
Yeah, well, it's a hard and tight thing in life.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so much to get to today. I mentioned they, right? I mean, like trannies, and I know you're not meant to use that word, but it's just a great word.
But tranny sounds like grannies. It's almost how can that be offensive?
It can't be offensive.
Really?
You know what? Honestly,
it's Friday. Let's just try to start on a nice happy note.
And 2020 is going to be the year where if you take offense to me, it's really your problem. I don't give a shit anymore.
But hold on.
I'm not going out of my way to piss people off, but if you actually get upset by something I say, you have the problem, not me.
So what am I supposed to say? Not tranny?
No, you meant to say trans. You're a trans person.
But trans is a genre of music that, let's be honest, has been
a lot more
mainstream.
Oh. Yeah. But now, let's say somebody calls me a dickhead, right?
Yes.
Can a trans person call me a dickhead?
Yeah, they can call you anything they want because they're trans.
But then, hold on, I'm offended by that.
So? It doesn't matter.
So I can't say tranny, but you can call me a dickhead.
Your only card you've got, my friend, is black, and that one has been watered down a lot.
Is it?
Yeah, because you're straight, you're male. Those two put you in the very much the oppressor category.
Am I toxic?
Well, yes, probably from the way you speak about things.
Very high level of toxicity. Yeah.
And your political views are just totally not okay.
Okay.
They are, in inverted commas, problematic.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Sia's got two cards he can bring out.
Which is?
He can bring out black and he can bring out gay.
Technically vegetarian stands.
Right. And actually, you're like, right. That does help.
Something this is a game of Uno.
Sia's got all the cards. Ben's got fuck all.
I've got
fuck all as well.
No, male. That's toxic, just being born.
I'm telling you, I've got no cards.
Male. No, you're male. That's toxic already. That's a card.
That's a card that works against you.
That's not a useful card. Like on the BEE scorecard, for example, which is exactly the same, funny that, as intersectionality. So what you would want, I'm trying to think who would get the most cards ever. I'm saying a trans, lesbian,
But can you be both?
Black woman.
No, a mixed race, because then you're like a symbol of the future. No,
Gareth, it's an Asian woman identifies as a black woman.
Yeah. See, now we're talking.
All right. Asian woman who identifies as a black woman, but she's also trans and a lesbian and in a wheelchair. Fuck me. There's nothing you can do about her. She can steal your children, break your neck.
Mm-hmm.
She can step all over your pride and your joy and your happiness. She can take your things, and you have nothing to say about it. If you're anything else in the world besides an Asian woman who identifies as black and you're trans and a lesbian and in a wheelchair, everyone else is screwed.
Do you think they exist?
Yeah, well, it must be one or two.
100%.
But is that then just not a warlock?
It's really a warlock, Just incredible powers.
You light all those things, something like a lightning bolt happens above you.
You win.
Yeah.
It goes, you have won. Like in Mortal Kombat.
Finish him.
Finish him. And then you can't because you're in the wheelchair.
What a lovely day.
So anyway, Ben's back. It's Friday, which is very exciting. Leanne is not here this morning. She's a little sick. She's not feeling good. But then, as Ben has pointed out, Leanne is often in not such great health.
Yeah, let's highlight that as me. It's partly my comment.
Well, you did say it. It's partly the drinking.
I didn't say that.
You said that as well.
You implied it. You did imply it.
Bullshit. I said nothing of the sort. Speaking of which, how's your aching back, Grandpa?
Dude, I was so useless. The whole week this week, I haven't been able to do anything seriously physical.
The last few years, you give me so much shit about being old and curmudgeonly and breaking down. And sure, but...
You mean like Mbolelo gives me, and then it comes back to bite you?
Yeah.
So I'm just being rewarded for my ugliness and nastiness. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Someone asked their Alexa, who is Hillary Clinton? Listen to the answer. This is hilarious. I think you'll appreciate this. All right. Take a listen.
Alexa, who is Hillary Clinton?
Hillary Rodham Clinton is a failed American politician and notorious serial killer. While the exact death toll remains unknown, it is estimated to be close to 100. While her killing spree is common knowledge, our corrupt justice system refuses to prosecute her.
Makes me want to buy an Alexa. I've never wanted one before, but now I want one. Right?
That is so
Hillary Rodham Clinton. By the way, did you see Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats handing in the articles of impeachment yesterday? Very exciting. They all were extremely serious and couldn't stop cracking really broad smiles the whole way through it. But this is like all of that stuff they were doing, that serious stuff, that impeachment that happened in the House, it's led us to this. It's a piece of paper, and she goes... You know, with the false teeth falling out the whole time. Donald Trump is impeached forever. He can't turn back. They can't turn back his glory.
Everything to me right now just looks like a Saturday Night Live sketch.
It is a Saturday Night
Live. That's what I was thinking.
And then they all walk very seriously. They walk from the House to the Senate, but they're like six of the most. First of all, none of them can walk up straight. Each of them has got either a limp or they're walking in the wrong direction. I mean, these are old and messed up people. There's a bald old man. There's a black woman. There's Adam Schiff. And there's some other very strange-looking people. I've never seen any. There's a fat woman at the back. It looks like if the PTA from your school, you know, like when you were at school, there was a parents-teachers association.
I keep thinking it's a bad school play all this
time. Yeah, and then the PTA is walking to that. Now, they're going to the headmaster to talk about that bad child in the school that's ruining everything. And they've like, got the serious face on, and they're walking down there, and it's all, we've got impeachment on our side. But, of course, impeachment, so what if the trial results in nothing? Now, it's going to the Senate, so the Senate have to try it, and we'll see what happens. It's all very exciting.
So ridiculous. Do you know what it looked like, Gareth? To them, they feel like they are the bishops of Britain taking the Magna Carta to John. Mm. Like it's ridiculous. Yeah,
except those barons actually had quite a lot of clout at that time. They had their own armies. And these guys have got no teeth at all. It's like a bunch of chihuahuas threatening a pit bull.
And we've got email. Just email him and go to work.
Yes, exactly. But it has to be... This is all they've done. In a year and a half, I think, since the election of this House of Representatives, they've pushed through very, very little legislation, if any. And most of it has been about, we've got to stop Donald Trump, orange man bad. And it's just incredible. Like, I've never seen such childishness. The American public has got to be looking at this going, I'm pretty sure we voted for you guys to make laws. You haven't made any. You've got this impeachment circus going on. Please do something that will actually help the country. Nothing.
That's
zero.
Ridiculous. Because now all of them aren't at work, right?
No.
And how many people does it take to carry a piece of paper? Like, go to work. You're being paid ridiculous taxpayer salaries.
And if this was so important, what happened yesterday, why did Nancy sit and wait for a whole month? What, did she need a December holiday?
Maybe she was finding new dentures.
Yeah, they had to settle in over the last month.
Get her a pair that fits, please. Please, can we get her a pair that fits? There's nothing worse than talking to an old person who has... Have you spoken to old people with false teeth?
It's slow. Yeah.
The teeth sort of roll around in the mouth, and they make horrible noises they're not even aware of. Squelching noises as the dentures hit the actual plate of their
squelch is right up there with squelch. The word moist.
Oh. Moist and squelch. Oh. There was moist squelching.
Oh. I'll be so disappointed if I'm not able to be an android by the time I'm 60.
Guys, did anyone else find it hilarious? Hold on, we'll get to your android comment. Did anyone else find it hilarious that on the day that we had Dr. Eli Rosen, who, by the way, was terrific.
That was so informative.
Yeah, she was... Sorry, not she, because they want to be called they. It's the first, well, it's not the first. This is the second time we've had someone in here who wanted to be called they. And really, they were terrific. So I'm delighted that we had Eli Rosen in here. But just that morning, Leanne had dropped a clanger and used the word bull dyke. And then Eli said to us she was a lesbian later on. And I almost wanted to bring up as like, did you hear the show in the first hour? Because I wonder if you'd be upset. And
Bull dyke's whole house.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. That's the famous place that my brother went there the other day, and he said he got caught in a traffic jam of lesbians at Builder's Warehouse. By the way, girls, if you are a lesbian and if you're a young girl who's looking for your first lesbian experience, that is a good place to start. I will tell you, the power tool aisle is fantastic for lesbians. Way better than any of the clubs that you might go to.
Really, save yourself some time.
Really good. And you can always tell because, you know, a lot of people are not sure. You can always tell by the footwear. Like, yes, it's usually a really good way.
Yeah. Very functional footwear. But
absolutely.
Gareth, I mean, to call a lesbian is like saying a car is a car. You know, it's a certain kind of lesbian, obviously, that goes to the Bull Dykes whorehouse.
Sure.
Yeah, and by the way, we mean no ill by that term. It's just not. And we know that a lot of lesbians refer to each other, depending on how they go on the scale, you know, from extremely feminine to quite masculine, if those are even the right terms to use. A lot of lesbians I've heard, you know, I've got lots of lesbian friends. They also refer to each other by those terms. So she's very femme and she's quite a bull dyke. That's how they say, you know. So that's where it comes from. I don't want anyone to be upset about this. We're not using it as a pejorative.
Well, because you often sing the lesbian song.
Of course.
Well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell yes. It gives me complete immunity.
Could you maybe find out from your lesbian friends what a collection of lesbians is called? What's the collective noun for a bunch of lesbians?
Same as for every other human.
Buying power tools.
You fucking bigot. Now, what did you want to say about Android?
Oh, I was saying I don't want to have to get dentures. So by the time I'm 60, we have to have figured out how to turn me into goo so I can just, I cannot be getting
dead. By then we'll have ways to download your consciousness and you can live forever.
Yeah, here's another one. Thing Sbulelo hates, dentures.
Mm. How long is that list getting?
11 things so far.
11 things, wow. Mm-hmm. I thought it was longer by this stage.
It probably is.
Mfundo, how's it going for you as the intern on the show? Are you having a fun time?
It's going all good. I'm having fun, loving being on the show.
Apparently, Mbulelo is teaching you how to do the podcasts and everything else.
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, you're learning fast. Is he a good teacher?
And correct, just to tell you, you see that guy over there, Mbulelo? Mm. He's amazing.
Oh, wow.
He's so
good.
That's
a compliment. Sure. That's very
nice.
He's
a better teacher than myself.
And you are a teacher. You're actually a qualified teacher.
Yeah, no. He's good.
All right, so you're from KZN, right? You're from Durban?
Yes, I am.
All right. And where were you teaching before you came up here?
Winston Park Primary School. It's in Hillcrest.
Okay. Mm. Did you enjoy teaching all those other people's children?
It's lovely. It's lovely, but some days it does have its...
drawbacks.
Yeah, it's drawbacks. Yeah,
I'm sure. All right. You know, someone, if we had to rank each other in terms of our ability to teach or to be useful to the rest of society, who do you think would get the highest score here? Because so far, Mfundo is actually that person.
Yeah, see, that would be my obvious answer.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't have the patience.
No, you'd be a terrible teacher.
No, this is a terrible
Although he says you're
room.
Very good. He says you're excellent.
Oh,
yeah, but because he's an adult.
Because he's an adult.
Yeah. Because Mfundo's a good student.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point. See, I don't know. Would you be patient? You're very good with your nephew. I've seen you with him.
See, I easily get peopled out. As much as I'm a very social person and open person, I really do love spending time alone. So, I probably would hit a cap somewhere.
All right.
But I don't think I'm the worst in this team.
Take special people to be teachers.
Yeah. More patience.
And I know that
people.
This is the week back at work for teachers. They get nice long holidays. That's one thing they get. But they do work hard.
Yeah, true.
It's a tough job. All right, a couple of comments that are coming in this morning. The current House of Representatives has passed more than 400 pieces of legislation, most of which are sitting in the Senate. Oh, I will fact check that, but thank you. I hope you're correct. In which case, it would show that they had actually got off their asses and done something. A lot of people talking about finally proof that Osama bin Laden is dead. He registered to vote in Chicago as a Democrat. That's funny. Good morning, team. KC says, thanks, Ben, for being in today. Your sport is priceless. Mbulelo is a coconut and can't do sport for shit.
Sure.
Jesus Christ, KC. That is a racial epithet, and even though you're a black man, I'm not tolerating that from you.
I'm offended.
Yeah, I mean, like, really, yeah. Coconut.
Oh, jeez.
Horrible thing.
My feelings.
How are you going to handle
it? Dear me.
You're going to go home and cry. Poor Mbulelo. He's going to have a horrible day now. I hope you're happy, KC.
Oh,
you mean, horrible person.
I feel like my sport actually fueled him into making that slur.
Wow, exactly. Now, you're also like implicated, yeah. There's somebody here who wonders how High Rob is doing, Shivesh.
High Rob's, yeah, he's getting it together. We had a long chat the other day. He would love to call in, but it's just so, as he says, it's just so fuck early for him because you have to wake up at like 5 and then...
And right now in Europe, it's dark.
It's cold, but yeah, he...
That's very eloquent. Fuck early.
He's got a girlfriend now. So when I was when I went to go see him, he had just started seeing this girl who's now his girlfriend. She's very nice. And he's saving up to buy a Harley Davidson so he can ride around Europe.
Nice.
And he's getting his life together. He's gone back to his old work because his new job didn't work out for him.
But he was always quite good at that job. I mean, he was never like a wastrel.
No, of course not. I mean, of course he isn't. But yeah, High Rob, he's getting it together.
Excellent. And then someone wants the lesbian song, so let's give just a few bars of that because there's nothing like that on a Friday morning. Are you ready?
I heard Cheryl and Mary say
love the production value of this song.
It's beautiful.
There's
a bit of flute.
Always the flute.
One or the other.
And it conveys angriness.
Sure. Well, emotion.
And a lot of aggression without being ugly.
Women are we.
Yes, the women are we.
They are we. It's a pleasure to be a lesbian. Lesbian. Lesbian, no man's land.
That's right. All right, that's all we got time for this morning. But
I also love like the sense of chorus that comes in there, and obviously strumming an acoustic guitar,
and a sense of togetherness and lesbian solidarity.
Yes,
from Bull Dyke to Femmes, the whole deal,
all of them, everyone is welcome. All right,
you could just hear the tough denim from those dungarees. They're all
see, no, that's too far. Yeah, no, that is too far.
Why do you have to be offensive? This is always, by the way, a funny thing, and. And it comes up often that actually the L, the G, the B, the T, there's not a lot of love between those categories. And everybody lumps them all together, that rainbow flag, but they actually, deep down inside, lesbians probably have less interaction with gays and vice versa than any groups in the
world. In many ways, it's like the sexual Middle East. They all lump together there, but they...
The sexual Middle East. I've never really thought about it
that's
like
what
that.
The LGBTQ
but it's true.
Carry the F.
And then the B, nobody. You see, the gays all think that bi guys are actually just closeted gay guys.
Well, I just think it's never. Never
the lesbians believe that every woman can be turned, so all women are potentially lesbians, as you heard in the song. So they don't believe in bi as a category. And so therefore, the bi's are discriminated against within the LGBT group. Then you get the T's. And remember, if you're a man who transitions into a woman, but you like men, weren't you gay as well? Is that undermining the gay cause? You see, these are things to think about.
It's just like the Middle East. They're rooted by religion, just like they're rooted to each other.
Right.
Alternative sexuality. Right. And they're all very passionate and fanatical about what they believe in.
Right. I think it would take less than one school term for Ben to go to jail if he was a teacher. That's... He would rip a child's head off within a week. Carl.
Goodness. Sure, Carl. I mean, you know what? The funny thing is, the way that sentence ended actually was quite good for me because
it started off quite badly. It started a bit pedo-ish.
Yeah.
And you know, Ben does like a good pedophile joke.
Thank you again.
How one word makes a world of a difference.
Like, it's not that I like a good pedophile joke. It's just... Sometimes they're just funny.
Whenever I find a good pedophile joke, the first person I send it on to is Ben. anything to do with uncles, he finds that funny. Geez, some people do not, huh?
No.
Look, it's a touchy subject.
Your intern has a very familiar throat-clearing tick. Hmm. I wonder what you're suggesting there. That's a suggestion from Chris. Chris, be explicit. You don't have to be, you know, around.
Coy.
You have to beat around the bush on this show. Yeah, coy, good word. Speaking about lesbians, what happened to Lisa the lesbian? Well, as far as I know, Lisa the lesbian is working at a very reputable auditing firm.
So now she's just called Lisa.
Yes. Yes, she doesn't want to be referred to as that anymore. But I think she and Cassandra are still together.
They're married.
They're married. Ooh. That's very good. That's so nice. There's a successful lesbian couple. And let's just say that they've been with us on this journey almost every step of the way. In fact, I did get an email or a message from either Cassandra or Lisa end of last year. So I'm sure they're still right. Yeah, girls, if you are listening to us, then please just make contact so that we can show proof of life to the rest of the audience.
Proof of life.
It's very important. At least Ben drives slowly past schools, Carl. No, Carl, you see, you're inferring something that isn't true. Because Ben finds this stuff amusing, doesn't mean that he is a pedophile. He finds these jokes funny. He doesn't like pedophiles.
Yeah, like I've been very clear about the fact that people who interfere with kids should go to prison and then be interfered with themselves violently. Mm. But there's just this every now and again, I can't, you know, this is the thing about humor. You can't always explain it. Sometimes a good pedo joke is just one of those things that brings people together.
Yeah.
And you can't deny it. And that the oddness of that is what makes it funny.
Yes. I had a conversation with someone the other day. Nobody's really afraid of pedophiles once they're adults. Because pedophiles, they're not scary. Like, they're always kind of weak people.
Mm-hmm.
People usually want to beat up a pedophile. They're not afraid of a pedophile. Like, if you put up a sign saying, you know, there's a sex offender living next door to me, people wouldn't be afraid. Children would, for good reason. But adults wouldn't be afraid. Like, adults would want to be aggressive towards that pedophile. Pedophiles are not strong people. You never hear people going,
no, because they're prey on children.
Yeah, exactly, because they're weak people, right? So no one ever goes, beware of that Mr. Jones in number 34. He's a strong pedophile.
No, generally, I mean, out of all the crimes you can kind of go for, if you're a strong man, you pick a tougher crime, essentially.
Most pedophiles are uncles, worms, stepdads, teachers, and people who place themselves around kids, but we know this, sad but true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and therefore also, you can tell the people who aren't involved with any kind of children and can joke about it are probably safe people.
Yeah.
That is the logical conclusion.
Anyway, sure. This all isn't right. Really the take I was looking for on today's show.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm
let's
at.
Go to
I like to think of myself as multifaceted. This isn't my big one. It's not my...
Let's go to an email.
What a way to kick off a Friday.
Cassandra, different Cassandra, not Cassandra the lesbian, says, happy 2020, bitches. I love that. That's a real fan. She knows us well. Last year was a hot mess, but thank you for pulling me through it with your wit, sarcasm, and general craziness. By the way, you don't have to compliment us in an email. You can leave that stuff out so we get to the meat of your email straight away. I like the team dynamic. She goes, I actually know Mbulelo from his MC gigs at crazy sports events. Huh. Huh.
Mm. You dark horse. Is that sport events with crazy people, or just is that a niche that you've carved out for yourself?
No, some of them are like 24-hour running events, cycling events. Anyway, it's all mountain crazy people. Anyway.
All right, so the fact that you get him to shut up on the show is amazing. I swear those guys get paid by word. Big Head Ben is always a win. I didn't realize how much I missed his dry humor until he came back. Nice, Ben.
That was very nice. Aww.
When is Mabale coming back to visit? Well, sweet Jesus. Have we tried? You know, Muhammad goes to the mountain goes to Muhammad. It's just impossible.
Yeah, but let's be honest. She wasn't really part of the team dynamic. She worked here, but she always had something better to do. I mean, I will say it because no one else will. But that's what Mabali was to this team. And you guys can all look at me like, how dare... Come on.
Oh, the Leanne thing? No, this one?
Sure, no, but Leanne's... really dropping bombs this morning.
Leanne's part of the team, though. She is the team dynamic. If she wasn't dying, she'd be here right now.
My podcast journey is becoming quite an obsession. There are some amazing true crime and true story podcasts out there that are a must. My suggestions, in case you ask, Blood Ties is about a wealthy family who find out some disturbing news about their father after he dies in an airplane accident with his wife. Also, the South African true crime podcast is really good. Yes, that was a big hit last year. And lastly, I see there is a new podcast about Bill Cosby. This one is for you and Ben, Gareth. Chasing Cosby, by the way.
No, okay, stop it. I'm going to listen to Bill Cosby podcast.
Best of luck for the year, guys. Here's to many more laugh stories and sharing. Thank you for introducing us to your audience, to a whole new world of content and entertainment. Continue to break the barriers. I'm excited to see what the year has in store for you. That's from Cassandra. Very nice, huh?
Very cool.
All right. Ben, something came up yesterday with Pumi, and you would be able to talk about this too. Yeah, photography is the biggest hobby in the world.
Yeah,
and
I guess.
And these days...
Next to masturbation?
Well, no, it is the biggest hobby. And then I think masturbation is third.
Oh.
Yes.
Must have dropped in the last few years.
It's definitely gone down. Pornhub has made it so, like, you know, middle class and ordinary. You know,
people take photographs to masturbate to, though.
Yes, that's true. So maybe the two...
Oh, that's how it works.
Good point.
Okay.
The reason I bring this up, though, is because we were talking about how camera phones are so good these days. You don't need to have a fancy DSLR or DSLR or whatever it's called.
Of course you don't, unless you're looking to make money out of your work. Yeah.
No, but this is what I want to talk about, because there is a distinction. And you have worked with lots of different kinds of cameras and different kinds of equipment, and sometimes you use your phone. And you've got these videos that you keep putting up, which are really good. And I saw some of the footage of your trip, your golfing trip that you did recently. You went to Mdoni or something, right?
Yeah, Mdoni Park. What a place. What a cool little place.
And, where is that even?
And Ben
Coast, Pennington.
I mean, Ben uses like drone photography and video footage. He uses cameras. He uses his phone. Where do you draw the line between someone who you take seriously as a photographer / videographer and someone who's just doing it amateur? And it might be talented. They might be very good. I'm not denigrating them. But how do you draw the line?
Gareth, it's such an impossible question, because it all depends on what you're looking to do. Like, for my client work, obviously there's a line where you need a certain level. And then when we make TV ads, we have a production crew with cameras that cost in the millions.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time you think this is just overkill, and it is. But it's just because if you want to be competitive, you have to do certain things. If you want to just make good work, go ahead with your phone.
Sure.
So when it comes to just making stuff and learning things, I always say to people, like, get a basic camera. The problem with phones is the pure processing kind of thing. So you can't use your phone to film for hours. And it's a memory thing, and it's a storage thing. But if you want to just take little clips or just take photos and then put a little filter on, learn about how you put filters onto things. I'm not saying like you go into this stuff and just press a button like an Instagram. Learn about like saturation, contrast, your white balancing, IOS, or what. I don't even know those things. I just play around with stuff until it looks nice. I don't have a formula, because every single time I do something, I feel like it's different. Again, I'm also learning things. But like, I wouldn't say go out there and buy a camera, but there is a depth of feel that you get on a mirrorless or a DSLR that you can't get on a cell phone.
Well, I'm just reading this email that's related to this too. Thanks for clearing that up for us. On your chat about phone cameras, I used to be a semi-pro photographer. This is from Rob. I still have 40K worth of camera kit gathering dust in a cupboard, but my 2-year-old Samsung S9 takes better photos than my old SLR with all the lenses. I recently shot a matric dance shoot in Indonesia. I'm basically doing mini weddings for close family friends, and I had to drag out the SLR because they needed the theater of a photographer with the big camera. The only good thing about the big camera is it gives you the cred to order people around. Otherwise, every aunt, uncle, and neighbor is always in the shot with their damn phones. I can't wait for the new model in March. 2 years difference in phone camera tech is like 20 in SLR upgrades. A great photographer I follow once said, the best camera is the one you have on you.
Yeah, that's the big saying that people always use. But look, if you take a nice 50mm lens on decent camera, the portrait shot you get out of that is amazing. It sure is. And but look, if you're also not a dumbass with lighting, so don't take a photo into like the sun, you know. You've got to have your people well lit. And
even once, I figured that one out.
And like, once people are well lit, I mean, that's pretty much the job done.
Have you ever looked back at photos that you took 10 years ago on the first camera phones?
Horrific.
And seen how bad the definition is. And just imagine going 10 years into the future, how good those cameras are going to be. And how good the just taking any kind of video, still picture, or anything else is going to be. It's almost going to be 3D probably in 10 years' time. Like, you can recreate the moment.
See, but another thing about when you start doing stuff is that because you become accustomed to what good quality is, you think you have to have better equipment.
Yes.
So the average person looking at something, because they're not so serious about it or invested in it, it's good enough for them.
Right.
But with you, like I know with me, like I feel my drone is obsolete now. But the average person looks at the stuff and goes, oh, it's so cool. And I'm thinking, yeah, but it's so flat. The color's so flat, and I need more depth on this particular shot.
In other words, you're looking for things that the rest of us aren't.
It's because my eye is so tuned to things now that, yeah. And like I know that my original Canon that I first bought for like $6,000,
yeah,
it's good enough. Like I made the whole KZN video series on that camera.
Huh.
And with a pretty standard $3,000 lens. It's still good. But then when I look at that and I think like I've got a nice mirrorless camera, I've got a Fuji. And that's like a lot more expensive and it's so much sharper and better. But no one's ever going to say, oh, I really like that video. I saw you used your more expensive camera for that one.
Yeah.
It's going to be ridiculous to be carrying a camera in 10 years in the first world, Gareth. We're moving to where, I mean, the glasses already exist, right? Those Google glasses, we've seen what the guys are doing with that. You can take a photo now, I'm pretty sure in 10 years' time, just your glasses. You think photo, you take photo. It's going to look ridiculous to have your phone out. It's going to look absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. It'll be like carrying a Sony Discman.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Or like a hi-fi on your shoulder.
Wonder if anybody still has one of those Sony Discmans somewhere in a cupboard.
Well, you go to Eastern Europe, Gareth, you'll find a lot of things that may have been forgotten about.
Or like vegans who want to be ironic, you know?
They have
a tape player.
Like, yeah. A hipster.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the news. We've got five things you need to know today, and then Ben's going to give us some sport. The South African Policing Union feels disappointed and embarrassed about the parade at the funeral of Richard Maponya. Yeah. The uncoordinated salutes drew ridicule on social media. We also have called for the Judicial Commission of Inquiry so that it can be the one that advises the president on the ills that are in our policing to do the professional work. Poor old Richard Maponya laid to rest, and the police, who were meant to add dignity to the event, all they did was add ridicule upon stupidity, upon just total breakdown of any kind of order or sophistication. Our police force, and these are important people if you looked at the number of medals they all had. Sweet Jesus, they must have all been to every armed conflict in the history of humanity.
No, but again, like, what are you getting medals for? Like cake? Punctuality?
I think for KFC mostly.
Yeah, obesity.
Yeah. So here, do you want to hear the guy from... Just listen to this. This is very interesting.
That's how the South African Police Union feels about the parade at the funeral of Richard Maponya. The uncoordinated salutes drew ridicule on social media. Joining me now from Pretoria, from our Pretoria studios, is the union's president, Mpho Kwinika. Thank you so much for joining me, Mpho. So, I mean, for some of us, it was laughable.
Isn't it kind of bizarre that before we even get to this...
So bad.
I know, and now it's a story on ENCA. It's so funny. And they're trying to treat it very seriously, you know, where it's just ridiculous. But isn't it bizarre that the union is asked to comment and not the police top brass? Who's really in charge? This tells you who's really in charge of the police. The police is actually run by SAPU, South African Police Union. That's scary, because it's no wonder there's no sense of order, decorum, discipline.
They try to call the top brass, but they couldn't find their phones.
Yeah, because they said, left pocket, right pocket, eh, Jesus, I don't know which one to go to.
Really, seeing those police officers trying to do a drill and a salute and basically facing the wrong way at most of the times that they were supposed to be coordinated. But you believe this goes deeper than us making fun of those particular officers.
They take it very seriously.
What does it point to? Do we have to worry about anything in as far as what we saw in that video?
No.
Yes, Tula, we should be worried about it because policing is a highly regulated environment. Anything which we do in policing has got prescripts, has got policies, you know, that regulates such conduct. I think the official funerals as well are regulated in terms of the National Instruction 24 of 1998. And if you look and maybe...
It's the first time that guy's ever learned that.
A little bit back at what happened on Tuesday, you will see that the pallbearers are not the same pallbearers who were standing at the graveside referring to the senior officers.
Oh my God. Talk about obfuscation. It's just such a boring... Like, if he'd said, look, those guys screwed up. We're really sorry. Like,
yeah,
we do have good police. And you put out a video, because there is one going around, of like really good marching by police women and men. And you can see that and you think, okay, well, that's better. There we go. So put that out. And this is just so boring.
Well, it sounds like this guy lost a round of rock, paper, scissors in the office.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, who will have to talk tonight?
He's going
to
go on that stupid ENC.
Yeah, because it's an interview that no one's going to win from their side. So
no one wants to do it.
Just drown them in words. Mm.
Guys, some very, very bad news. This is the second thing you need to know this morning. And probably for a lot of people, this is just a terrifying piece of news. Who's the scariest person on television?
Well, it used to be Isabel Jones, and everyone else has been in her shadow, even in death.
And now?
Well, yes, Debbie.
Yes.
Of course, yeah.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Well, she is deciding to leave carte blanche after 18 years. She will make her last appearance on the show this Sunday. Sorry, next Sunday, 26th of January.
Not hardcore enough for her.
It's not. She now is just going to go and live in a prison to prove how hardcore she is. Governor will make her last appearance on Sunday next week. In addition to the usual news and human interest stories, Carte Blanche said it would celebrate Governor's immense contribution to the show during the broadcast. I remember her going into a place in Durban, this dodgy little place in the CBD, where there was a bunch of people called the Gumtree Gang.
Ooh.
She walked in there and she started giving them shit, and the one guy tried to take a punch, and she ducked. I mean, she was like a hardcore, and this was right in the beginning when she just started with Carte Blanche. And I thought, sure, that woman's tough. And you know how many people have been terrified that, not that the angel of death will catch them in the evening, or that, you know, some armed criminal is going to break into their house, but because they were involved in dodgy dealings, mm-hmm. that one day there's going to be a knock at the door. And, hi, I'm Debbie from Carte Blanche. Blood runs cold.
She's a legend.
She is a legend. So Jan Duplessis, the director of Mnet Channel, said in a statement, oh, Jan, I like Jan Duplessis. He's one of the few people at Mnet knows what he's doing. That's very nice. Glad he's still there. As this chapter in Debbie's life journey closes, we'd like to express our gratitude for the zest and passion she brought to Carte Blanche, our channel, and the Mnet family. With her trademark dynamite Carte Blanche probes, Debbie has made an immeasurable impact on our society as a whole. We'll miss her presence on the show. What is she going to do? I don't know.
Well, her,
you know what she wants to do next?
She says that she's going to be ticking off some things off her bucket list. It sounds a little vague,
like a hit
but
list.
her daughter's now just finished school, and her daughter's going to the US on a golf scholarship.
Yeah,
and
of course, she's a really talented golfer.
That has inspired her to also follow some things that she's been putting on the back burner. So it's actually cool that she can now like reinvent her life.
Yeah. Well, she said that she won't forget what Trevor Noah told her during an interview in New York. Once you think you're at the top, you should be finding the place where you're at the bottom. I look forward to the future, but will never forget my past. That's okay. Nice.
It makes sense. She's a legend. She'll go on to just do legendary stuff.
She's got an MBA.
Oh, of course. She's a legend.
Oh, she's brilliant. Yeah. So there we go. Good luck, Debbie. I think all of South Africa, whether you've bust someone or not, even they have to grudgingly admit that they like you. There's a person who everyone in South Africa kind of respects. Right?
And, yeah, Gareth, I know
her
some...
and Derek. they're like the only people that all South Africans can agree of, you know, pretty much straightforward, honest people.
And I know somebody who worked with her, and he told me she has got a work ethic like no one you've ever met.
I know it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Never late for anything in her life. Apparently, a guy called Gibson Mutero has appeared before the Komatipoort Magistrates Court. Was arrested by the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigations. Guess why? He was arrested together with Lubombo Border Police as part of Customs and Excise. He was transporting counterfeit goods from Mozambique to Joburg. There was a truck with 3.3 million rands worth of counterfeit goods hidden under sawdust. The team managed to uncover a series of Nike, Adidas, Puma, and Red Bat branded sneakers, sandals, school bags, and jeans. The truck and goods were taken to SARS Customs Warehouse for safekeeping. Safekeeping. I wonder who has the keys to that SARS Customs Warehouse. I wonder how some of the Fong Kong makes it into the market. It's not through the Fong Kong tradesmen. Sometimes it's through the lovely people at SARS who decide to clear out the warehouse every now and then. I mean, what else do they do with it? Just keep it there forever?
Oh, Praveen needs more food.
Someone has to ask the question.
Yeah.
Pravin's not at SARS anymore. By the way,
he's a shareholder.
Like 10 years, you're 10 years behind.
Gareth, he's still
he's a shareholder in SARS.
He's a shareholder everywhere. He's taking a piece every time you buy a packet of Doritos. Pravin takes a hit.
Yeah, he's got 14 fingers for all the pies he's in.
Someone says Devi should take over as public protector from Busisiwe Mkhwebane.
Well, this plant behind me over here could take over from her.
That's
yeah.
true. That's true.
That's a great
Devi is very sneaky. She's probably going to start investigating Mnet. Wow, that's good.
Thank you so much for 18 years. But can you explain what happened to the...
Yeah. Oh, wow. Imagine. All right, then UNISA has been accused of mismanaging NISFAS funds. Our universities are terrible. I had a conversation with Mteto Nyati yesterday, who is now the CEO of Ultron. He used to be the CEO of MTN, and he's done some really interesting things in business. He's a smart guy.
That's a very good interview.
He said, and we play it next week?
Next Friday.
Okay. He said, the universities are just not churning out enough graduates that are useful to the marketplace. And it is what it is. And I was like, you know, that's a good point. It's another nail in the coffin of South African universities. Everybody's lining up at this time of year to get into university. And I'm wondering why. First of all, it's hugely expensive. Second of all, those degrees don't necessarily always bring you the jobs that you're hoping for. Because, especially in certain fields, we have a saturation now. There aren't enough jobs in the market. And a lot of the stuff they teach you at universities, just ideology and nonsense and politics and claptrap, is not useful stuff. Obviously, there's some degrees you're exempt from this, but... It's interesting, and now it seems that the University of South Africa, UNISA, may have been mismanaging NISFAS funds. SASCO President Avela Njajubana said the alleged mismanagement of allowances and the apparent lack of capacity has led to the unprecedented failure of approximately 22,000 students who were specifically deserving in previous academic years. Yeah, you know, I just think if you're getting anything for free and these NISFAS things are for free because no one ever pays them back, I don't know that that's helping the situation. I think what you're doing is you're basically finding placement for young people in academia instead of getting them straight into the job market. And in many of these cases, they can't afford to be at university, and some of them may be very talented people who are obviously deserving of these grants. Other people are really just going for a free ride. I know, I messed around at university. That's why I'm in a position to talk like this about it. And then Google's owner Alphabet's now worth $1 trillion. There are a lot of companies suddenly breaking through that $1 trillion ceiling. Wall Street just got a new member in the Trillion Club. That's Google's parent company, Alphabet, or new all-time high on Thursday, pushing the company's market value to $1 trillion. They join Apple and Microsoft as companies with at least $1 trillion. Mm. Apple's the most valuable company in the United States, a market value of nearly $1.4 trillion. Microsoft's worth $1.3 trillion. It's the first time that three American companies are at the same level, over $1 trillion. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of zeros.
Yeah.
It's quite something. And that is all you need to know this morning. Those are the things. Ben, tell us what's going on in the world of sport.
A relatively slow week in sport, Gareth. Well, it's January after all.
Why? Why? Well, January just shitty?
Things kind of regroup. I know for the golfing season, all the big names sort of dust themselves off and pick up massive appearance money. So if you like a bit of golf, then Abu Dhabi, that's where it's happening right now. And a South African called... Sean Norris was leading, but now Renato Paratore, which is not a baked good... It's an Italian golfer.
That's a great name.
He's come through. He's currently 8 under.
Sure, that's
and
a good name.
And then there's the American Express on the PGA Tour, but the Abu Dhabi Championship is where you get the big guys. Brooks Koepka's there. Bryson DeChambeau's there. Yeah, there's like really big names. In the Absa Premiership, of course, it is Kaizer Chiefs year. It's Kaizer Chiefs everything because they're 50 years old and they're doing bloody well. They thrashed Cape Town City over the weekend, and then during the midweek, there was the, well, who's also got a chance kind of narrative going around. And, well, Sundowns and Pirates, they clashed. Pirates won. Vitz also won, but I just don't think either of these teams are going to come and take away from the Chiefs. Chiefs are currently 9 points ahead. They've played 17 matches, and they look pretty good. And the thing is, like, they're a bit of a sleeping giant the last few years. You know, Sundowns have been good, Vitz have been good, but now it's the year of the Chiefs. So, cricket obviously is a big thing right now, and Mbalelo was very disparaging towards Abel de Villiers coming back into the T20 team. So when it says AB de Villiers coming back to the Proteas, he's not looking for a long-term thing. It's T20 cricket. It's the year 2020, the year of the T20 World Cup.
Oh, how poetic.
So he's not looking to come back into the Test team. He's not looking to come back into the ODI team and play in the World Cup and Marcus Thirumavar there. He's currently playing the Big Bash. Bled, off the top of your head, how many South Africans are playing in the Big Bash in Australia right now?
Plenty playing there, but like...
Name them then.
Oh, what? Oh, what? Playing in the Big Bash?
It was so, almost, yeah.
It's what, three?
Well, exactly. So yeah. where's your plenty?
Sorry, but plenty of people playing T20 cricket. My point is, Ben, when you break up with a girlfriend, don't think you can get back together with her. There's a reason you broke up. For God's sake, let's move on. He's 100 years old.
He's not.
Ben,
he's
it's
not.
Over.
He's not. He's your age, for a start. And secondly, this Proteas team, in every format of the game, has been a batsman short since, I don't know, 3-4 years ago right now. So all we're trying to do is we're just trying to add another batsman. It's always a weak point. It's a bloody T20 World Cup. This really isn't a big deal. I mean, it's almost like we're speed dating here. We can bring him back. The love cannot be lost. And the thing is, we don't know the full story, but basically, Otis Gibson and had no interest in managing AB de Villiers. If you want to talk about track record of managing players, look at Kagiso Rabada, the greatest fast bowler probably in our generation. He was run into the ground by Cricket South Africa and Otis and his whole team. So I think if someone says maybe he didn't manage AB so well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to buy into that narrative, or at least look into that suggestion. So if AB's playing in Australia right now and he's been T20ing his balls off for the last couple of years, maybe he could, a guy who could maybe go into this team. There's a lack of excellence in this country. We spoke about this policeman who can't turn left. Yeah. There's a general lack of excellence in South Africa. Why would we ever want to discard someone like AB de Villiers? He's not a prick.
We couldn't win with Jacques Callis when we had Graham Smith and AB was still there. What do you think? You're going to bring him back now and we're crap now? We're going to win with AB. Let's move on. Let's build for the next World Cup. But great player. AB de Villiers, I'm not going to take that away from you, but we're done with him now. SA Cricket, forward please, Smithers. Forward, not backwards.
Yes, forward, okay. Our domestic league is producing nothing but shit. So if we've got excellence, let's tap into it. It's a one-off 2020 World Cup. The guys are looking to come back and make everything about him. Trust me, he's a very nice dude, actually. And, to Ashel Cricket, there is, of course, they're playing in the armpit this weekend. Yes, in George's Park, Port Elizabeth.
Excellent.
And, Keshav Maharaj bowled how many overs yesterday? 32 on day one of a test match. So if your spinner is bowling 32 overs on the first day of a test match, that's not such a great sign, because, you know, South Africa is known for its seaming pitches. Werner Philander is about to say farewell to test cricket. He bowled all of 11 overs and the new ball came twice. All of 11 overs. So not a great pitch for the spectators. The English, well, they were wobbling a bit, but thanks to Pope and Stokes, they managed to finish the day on 224 for 4. So for all 331 of you who went to the ground yesterday, good on you, because that must have been boring as shit. It really must have been. But this is Test cricket. First day, it's always a battle of attrition in PE, like everything is, whether you want to live there, whether you want to play sport there, it's tough. So, 4 more days to go. The weather might play a factor. Either way, this is going to be a very intriguing test, because the series is poised at 1-1. There's no Jofra Archer, and there's no James Anderson for the English. So how they'll do with the ball will be very interesting. They've brought back Mark Wood, who is quite a penetrating force in the one-day game, hasn't really made a name for himself in the test match. And our batsmen, let's be honest, have got a fire. Timber Vavuma yesterday scored 180. And he was told to go make runs in first-class cricket. He went and did it. So there's 180 over his name. So there's guys like Hamza and, I guess just guys like Hamza, because Rusty van der Dissen's playing so bloody well. He's coming to this team. He's looked like a natural. There's no other sort of batting question marks other than Faf du Plessis. Now, Faf is the captain, of course, which makes it very, very difficult. You can't really drop him because there's no captaincy after that. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to give it to? Quinton de Kock? The guy could barely count to 10 on a good day. And I mean that with all respect, because that's not what he's in the team for. He's in the team for catching a ball and hitting a ball. But, you know, it's an interesting dynamic where this team is going, because Faf's on his way out. So who could be the next captain? Is it Themba Bavuma?
Yeah.
This is the thing people are suggesting. Mbolela's shaking his head, and I understand why, because I don't think they should have that much pressure on the dude. As it is, he was thrust into this team. He's a talented dude. But now, work Twitter is now on his back saying, ah, he's on the team because it's a black thing. No, his form was bad. He was given the opportunity to go score runs, and he scored the runs. So now his confidence is up. Imagine putting this guy back in the team after injury where he doesn't know if he's coming or going. This whole thing on going back to domestic cricket is an actual privilege. It's not a punishment, it's a privilege. And he took it with both hands, as they would say in the classics. Of course, the Dakar Rally finishes today. It has been 2 weeks of sweaty cracks and sand in your face, but here it is, the final day, stage 12.
Okay.
It is from Harada to Kadir.
I don't know where those places
from
are.
From where to where?
Harada to Kadir. Now, Kadir is this purpose-built sort of city. Okay. The Saudi Arabians are saying, look at us, Western people. We have nice things too. So you can go there and it's fun. But that's where the Dakar Rally is finishing. So currently, Stefan Peter Hansel, who must be at least 730 years old by now, he's in the lead. He leads by 10 seconds over Nasser Al-Attiyah, who is in the Toyota Gazoo, which is basically, and credit to South Africans being just very industrious people, a bunch of, as they would call in the business, clutch plates, put together a whole bunch of interesting things. And this Toyota Gazoo racing is an incredible South African story. Kenil de Villiers, who is obviously SA's top Dakarist, he's currently in sixth in the Gazoo team. But yeah, just great stories in this Dakar, one of which, of course, is Kirsten Luttmann. She is currently SA's top bike competitor. Oh. She's currently 68th in this bike category. Unfortunately, someone passed away this week, so one of the stages was cancelled.
But
this bike category, a third of the field is basically not in the field anymore. They've just dropped out.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a tough environment.
Ranging from death to just my bike is buggered.
Yeah.
It is a hectic race, but I think it's also been very good. I think the Dakar Rally is something that should always be like a huge thing in people's sporting diets. And I think in Saudi Arabia, they've got a really great location for it. Say what you want about human rights and Hillary Clinton's friends, but essentially the Dakar Rally in Saudi, I think, has a great future going forward. In other news of the rugby nature, well, it is Superhero Sunday. That is when the superheroes, the Super Rugby team sell out, people say. Well, actually, bollocks. There's no way of getting new people into the sport other than, say, things like Marvel, right?
Okay, so this is where they all take on the name of a Marvel team.
Yeah, look, it's all packaging, right? So okay. How are we going to get this? Look, what I've come to realize in my new career is that the sport, all of the sports need to get onto the internet. The ones that do the best are the best.
Yeah.
UFC, right? It's mm-hmm. all over the internet. It's the best sport right now. I'll get to that in a second. So rugby needs to take a leaf out of that,
right?
A page out of that book. And in a recent survey in New Zealand, only 10% of millennials actually gave a toss about Super Rugby. So where's your sport going to go if the next generation, only 10% of that gives a toss? It's very worrying.
If they asked Sia, it would be 0%.
Well, exactly, Gareth, exactly. So we've got to bring the new people in. And people are saying, well, I'm not watching if they're dressed like superheroes. Yeah, but they're still playing rugby. It's still our stars that we love. It is still the game played on the field with the same rules.
Okay.
Although slightly orientated, I don't know, every year there's slight changes. But it is still rugby. And it is South African rugby, and we still need to get behind it. So if you are in the Greater Gauteng area, tickets are cheapest chips for this one, really. 200 Rand, I think, for a family of four. And you can go watch the Chelsea Sharks versus the DHL Stormers. That'll be at 1 o'clock. And then the Emirates Lions versus the Vodacom Bulls. That nice. Is it. Those are your two matches on Sunday. It's the start of Super Rugby. And I haven't cared about this tournament for a couple of years now. I'm actually pretty excited about it. I'm going to say it right now. I'm in it to watch it.
See you Very then.
Good. I'm not going to go to the match now.
I'm going.
I'm playing golf. Weekends are for golf for me. But I'll be watching in my mind in the highlights, and I'll be covering. And other things to watch out for this weekend, of course, in the footballist nature, is Liverpool will be beating Man United on Sunday at 6:30.
You predicted the result.
No other real big game. I mean, Man United, there's obviously a lot of speculation, and Gordon and Bolero went deep this week about where Man United is going and who they are. But who cares? You know, it's all about Liverpool this year. So they are beating Man United at 6:30.
Okay.
And, well, if you like any other teams, I'm pretty sure you know already when they're playing. Before we get into the main event for the weekend, you know Nike's miracle shoe, Eliud Kipchoge, he ran that sub-two-hour marathon. He broke that record last year.
Okay.
Yeah, he did. But he was wearing these shoes that had these carbon fiber inserts and spring cushions and this kind of stuff.
Wow.
So it looks like these shoes will actually be banned. But now Eliud, who, I tell you what, if you want this guy to back your brand, he definitely knows how to do it. He says, it was me. I did all the training. It wasn't the shoes. You know, in Formula One, everyone's got the same tires, but Mercedes always wins because it's about the engine. Yeah, but Eliud, you're talking out your ass here. Those shoes were propelling every single bit of effort that you put into the road. So that's how, I mean, I don't want to talk about bike mechanics with him because he's a runner. But these shoes give you such a huge advantage. Like, I know a professional running coach. He said these shoes are ridiculous what they can do for you. Of course, if you're like a bit of a chubster and you've been running 5Ks, maybe like an hour and a bit, these shoes will give you huge amounts of progress. At Elliot's game, sure, it'll be less progress, but it still gives you something. And he had four carbon fiber or carbon inserts in this thing. The actual shoe you can buy in stores only has one. So, well, anyway, Nike's always pushing the boundaries, and sometimes that doesn't work for them. On to fighting, which is basically the biggest, best sport in the whole world, I've come to realize, and it's the biggest event this weekend. It is Conor McGregor versus Donald Cowboy Cerrone.
Right.
So it's a big way to start
the UFC. Someone asked about that.
Big way to start the UFC. You know, the big talk for the year is, like, who is Conor McGregor in the sport now? Everyone thought he was kind of washed out. Look, he did a lot of cocaine. He had a lot of lot of fast cars. He's selling whiskey to Russians. This guy,
but who doesn't?
I mean, he's lived everything by the age of 30, basically. Obviously, he went in a big fight against Manny Mayweather. He threw a trolley at a bus. I mean, the guy has lived so much so quickly.
Sure.
Is he going to be able to replicate all the things that made him so good prior to the meltdown? He's this new, kind of more measured, nice, almost humble guy, as the press conferences this week have shown you. Look, the whole thing about Cowboy is, you know what you're getting out of him as a fighter. He's hard as fuck. And that's what he... I mean, the guy got the press conference yesterday in an anaconda jacket. He had a jacket made out of an anaconda.
That's fantastic.
That's his game. So he will fight and he will beat guys up. Conor McGregor is a once-in-a-generation kind of talent. So he'll either be sometimes referred to as shit or champagne. I think he's been shit in recent times because his lifestyle caught up with him. And everybody wanted to basically just dilute him. Everyone wanted it because they hated him. So he became a target. But now he's a more rounded, all-round kind of guy. This fight is going to be absolutely fascinating. And I think if you go onto YouTube, I'll actually tweet the link shortly. There's a video on YouTube called Starboy. It's a Conor McGregor film. It's one of the most amazing sporting masterpieces of how he came to prominence. He told everyone he's going to be the best. He told everyone he's going to beat them up. And I think in his fight against Eddie Alvarez at the time was incredible talent in the lightweight division. He was killing everybody, basically. Conor just looked him in the face and said, "You're nothing. I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to do this, this, and this." And the fight went exactly that way. It was just the most beautiful piece of sport, and this video just exemplifies how great MMA really is. So that's Starboy. Watch that. And my concern is, can Conor ever be as good as that? I don't think so, but he's still got so much to give, and I think this fight is going to be the absolute business this weekend.
Dangerous Dave wants to know, what time is the fight?
5 a.m. on Supersport. Supersport has been gracious enough to give us this whole fight, and people from around the world have got to put their credit card details into a machine, whereas we can watch it on Supersport 5 a.m. on Sunday. You'll be able to watch that, Dangerous Dave. And look, everyone said the same thing, you know. Conor's either going to close him out early, or if a fight takes on like more and more rounds towards the fifth round, then obviously Cowboy becomes more the favorite. So you got to watch it. I'm not going to give you any more of that. And finally, another thing from the world of fighting is Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. Now, UFC's almost given boxing a second wind because they've got to find a way of remarketing themselves. Next month is the Deontay Wilder-Tyson Fury rematch. And Tyson Fury has been literally masturbating furiously in preparation for it.
Is that what you do?
Well, he's got a theory.
That's what you do, supposedly.
This is his theory.
All right, let's take a listen. This is what he says. This is Tyson Fury, right?
I'm masturbating seven times a day.
Seven times.
Keep me testosterone pumping. Pumping, pumping, pumping. Pump it up, don't you know?
That's a lot. That's
yeah, listen. I've got to keep active and testosterone flowing for this fight. Don't want the levels to go down.
Lineal champ in that regard too.
Yes, why not?
Wow, he's being serious.
Yeah, again, this is a huge fight. These guys fought... Sure, I think it was almost 2 years ago now. Well, it was December 2018.
And Tyson got robbed.
He did.
I love boxing. He got robbed.
It was deemed a draw. Since then, Tyson's made some money. And Deontay Wilder has basically just beaten a whole bunch of guys up. He's been called the hardest puncher in the history of boxing. Tyson Fury is probably the hardest talker in the history of boxing. And the best masturbator. Sport, huh? It just really gives you everything,
that's
doesn't
great.
It?
That's great. That's lovely.
Gives you everything.
Isn't that nice? All right, very good. That's what we've got for now. It's a whole new hour in the next hour where we'll talk to you. You can send us messages, voice notes, whatever you have suggestion-wise, 0797482090. We'll get into some of the news stories of the day, some of the things that everybody is talking about, and get you ready for your weekend. I hope you are ready for the weekend. Have you got some stuff for us, Mbulela?
Oh, I think Ben has done a magnificent job, Ben.
Thanks.
Outstanding job.
I went on a bit there. Sorry.
No, magnificent. I'm very happy.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to spoil your flow, you know, once a week.
Well, there was a lot there.
There's a lot to chew on. All right, so let's get cracking. It's just after 7, cliffcentral.com. It's Friday. Good morning, everybody. You're ready for the weekend because it's just around the corner. It's coming at you whether you like it or not. Let's do this. Let's get cracking. Let's make it count and let's start your weekend properly.